by Briggs Auto Lane and BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Here we go.
Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. It is Phil Steele Day today on the show at 5:10 and 5:25. You will hear Mr. Steele first on the Big 12, then on the national college football landscape. So much with him that we had to break it up into two segments. Also today, Jabroni of the Week at 5:50, Inside the Fort at 4:50. And coming up here in the open, it's a big day for mullets. And there's a K-State comparison with that as well. If you want to contact the show, the game KMAN on Twitter is how you do so. You can also give us a call, 537-1350, toll-free, 866-776-1350. I am looking at a beautiful picture right now of Mike Gundy in Manhattan in his mullet and all its glory from this past season, and that is because Mike Gundy agreed on a new five-year contract with Oklahoma State today. So that's really the biggest piece of news, I think, regionally for us today, and it sort of enlightened me and kept me going down the line of what could be on the horizon here for Oklahoma State football, and it reminds me so much of K-State football back when Bill Snyder got it going in the late 90s and early 2000s. First things first, here's the details on Mike Gundy's new contract. He is agreeing on a five-year contract with an annual automatic rollover. He'll earn $4.2 million in 2017. Man, I am not going to lie. I was surprised to realize today that Mike Gundy makes that much. I do think he's worth it, but that is a lot. $300,000 increase for this year. Then every year in the contract, he'll get $125K as it goes along. He's the longest tenured and winningest coach in Oklahoma State history. And, man, what a time. What a time to be alive, as the kids say, as Drake says, if you're an Oklahoma State fan. You're coming off your fifth 10-win season in the last 7 years. You've been to 11 straight bowl games. Just got your coach, Mike Gundy, locked up long-term with a deal. At least for now, it appears that some of the stuff with T. Boone Pickens that boiled up again in October is behind them. It certainly appears the situation has improved since late 2016. So that is a positive. And then Bob Stoops just retired. The big, bad Bob Stoops is out of the Big 12 Conference. You have to be feeling great right now if you're an Oklahoma State fan and if you are Mike Gundy, because he is the one that's going to be paid $4.2 million.
I agree, because now you're getting to a point where what is going to sway Mike Gundy to another job? I mean, yes, there are still a handful out there that I think that he would still take, but getting paid is no longer a real issue. Being top dog in the Big 12, it has the potential of not being a real issue anymore because Bob Stoops isn't there. That opportunity will be there for Oklahoma State to overcome Oklahoma. And basically, those are the two big things that I would have said would be big reasons for Mike Gundy to move on a year ago. And those aren't there anymore. And so I think that Oklahoma State is in a great place right now with a very, very good coach. And it's all just coming together at the perfect time, because not only is Bob Stoops gone, but it's correlating with a season that Mike Gundy might have his best team that he's ever had at Oklahoma State.
That is very true. Certainly the best since 2011, it looks like, is on deck for the Cowboys right now. I think the $4.2 million is an incredibly important piece of all this, because, I mean, who is going to go out and get Mike Gundy? He flirted with Tennessee once upon a time. If Tennessee came calling right now, I mean, are they going to pay him $5 million? You're going to pay Mike Gundy $5 million? I'm not sure that's really in the cards, and you're going to continue to up that salary every year. So they're doing everything they can, clearly, to be committed to this guy, and deservedly so. But I think bigger picture here, if you're Oklahoma State, and if you're the rest of the Big 12, looking at what's happening here with the landscape of the conference, if we're talking about purely on the field, Oklahoma State seems poised to potentially be the top dog that takes over here, depending on how things go with Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma. And it feels so similar to me to Snyder 1.0, his first go around here at K-State when he got the program really up and running from 1993 to 2003. And I've made this comparison before, just in terms of, I think, the run that Oklahoma State had or has had in the last 7 years is exactly like what K-State was doing in the late 90s and early 2000s. K-State won an average of 9.5 games per year from 93 to 98. Oklahoma State, five of the last seven have been 10-win seasons. But what has held Oklahoma State back, aside from blowing their big chance in 2011 at a national championship with that loss to Iowa State, what's really held them back is Oklahoma is the hump that they can never get over. They have not been able to eclipse the Oklahoma Sooners. Mike Gundy's beat them just twice in 12 years. They just can't get the better of Bob Stoops, and Stoops is the one that in his career has won 10 Big 12 titles and always seems to win the league. Oklahoma State's only been able to get them once. Well, what was K-State's big nemesis when Bill Steiner was rolling in the late 90s from 1993 to 98?
Tom Osborne.
When they finally got over the hump, it was Tom Osborne in Nebraska. Steiner was 0-5 from 93 to 98 after he had started winning 9 games per year and, again, averaged 9.5 wins over that time span. They could not beat Osborne in Nebraska. What happened in 1998? Osborne steps aside. He hands the program over to an assistant, Frank Solich. Bob Stoops steps down, hands the program over to an assistant, Lincoln Riley. And it's not like Frank Solich was horrible, but he wasn't Tom Osborne. Now, the book is still out. The jury is still out on Lincoln Riley. But this, to me, just feels like, again, what K-State went through. Wildcats were not able to totally take advantage, I would say, of having a shot at being really the top dog in the conference there for a while, but they did go and rip off 6 of 7 years with 11 wins. Oklahoma State now, I think, has a path to take that next step and be really the ringleader of the conference on the field in the next 5 years.
It's a similar situation, but I think that Oklahoma State has 2 legs up on K-State in that regard. Number one, you take a look at Oklahoma State's facilities and where they're at right now. I mean, Oklahoma State's and Boone Pickens Stadium today is better than where Manhattan was at back in 1998. K-State did make those enhancements in the late 90s and in the 2000 season, but they still, you know, it was not sparkly by any means. It was just larger and it was functional. So I think that that's one big thing. Also, Oklahoma State is a little bit closer to the hotbed recruiting ground of Texas. They have a little bit of a geographic edge there. But the other thing that's really big is when K-State finally had that opportunity in the late 90s, you still had to worry about Colorado. You still had to worry about Oklahoma. You still had to worry about Texas. I think there were more good teams at the top of the Big 12 then, partially because it was a 12-team league, than there are in the Big 12 right now, with Oklahoma State really only worrying that much about K-State and Oklahoma for the time being. We'll see what happens with TCU and Texas, but I think that Oklahoma State really has a leg up on where K-State was in 98.
Yeah, there's just a lot of uncertainty right now with some of the teams that have been up there, Baylor, TCU, K-State with Bill Snyder's health situation and mm-hmm. how long he's going to be around. There's much more uncertainty surrounding some of the teams that have been up at the top right now than there were back then for K-State. So I would agree with you on that point as well as far as Oklahoma State is concerned. You know, it'll be interesting to see if they are able to actually take this step. This year, they do seemingly have a team that is capable of winning a Big 12 title. And can they actually get there? Because K-State, once the way was paved and Tom Osborne stepped out of the way, they did start beating Nebraska, winning in 98, 2000, 2002. But obviously it was only 2003, which they did beat Nebraska again there, I should mention, that K-State finally broke through and won the Big 12. So Oklahoma started to emerge. There were some other things that happened there at the end of that stretch. But it didn't work out probably quite as well as you would have hoped at that point in time. But you just think about where each of the programs have been at. Neither fan base was going to complain about the clip that their coach was winning at. Winning 10 games a year at Oklahoma State is not something Cowboy fans are going to complain about. Same with winning 9.5 games a year at K-State like Snyder was when Osborne was still there at Nebraska. But it still left it, you know, we all get complacent as fans, and when you're just on the cusp like that, you get so frustrated and want more, you want more, you want more. I think Oklahoma State fans are the same way. And that is part of why Gundy and T-Boone have butted heads, because T-Boone Pickens seems to get frustrated with the fact that Oklahoma State has not been able to completely break through and take that next step. Combined with some other things about Mike, he thinks Mike Gundy's not all that great with relationships and yada, yada, yada. They've had some issues. But there are similarities there in the way I think the fans have been just sitting and waiting for a little bit more. And this is the opportunity for Oklahoma State, I think, to jump up and give their fans that.
We all mentioned it last, or whenever it was, when Bob Stoops stepped down, about how much light there is at the end of the tunnel for K-States and the Oklahoma States. And it makes me think back how many times back in the day Oklahoma had a hand on either keeping Oklahoma State out of a Big 12 title game or keeping Oklahoma State out of a BCS bowl game. That has happened so many times over the past handful of years, over the past decade at least, that Oklahoma has kept Oklahoma State from that next big hurdle.
Yeah, as much as we wanted to sit here and say after the Stoops news, all right, this is good for K-State. It'll help out the title chances for this next year and sending Bill Snyder out. That's all well and good. But K-State is not the number one winner from Bob Stoops retiring. I thought Oklahoma State probably would have been co-number one with Texas, because Texas is another team that have been, for the most part, just beaten by a drum, beaten like a drum, and dominated by Bob Stoops. So those two teams, I think, have more to gain here, and you combine it now with more stability for Mike Gundy. Oklahoma State has just gotten a 1-2 punch, I think, of pretty good news in the last week.
Comparing, going back to the comparison with K-State from the late 90s, I do think that there is one important contrast here between that situation and where Oklahoma State is now, and that's that at that time, K-State, I think you could have said whether or not they actually get over the hump in that first year after Osborne leaves, you know, 97, 98, whether or not they get over it then, you still feel like K-State has some longevity and they'll have more opportunities down the road. With Oklahoma State, I'm not saying there won't be those opportunities, but I'm a little bit more skeptical because of how loaded they are on offense this year and how the stars have just kind of aligned for them, because out of three, they're big contenders in the Big 12, Oklahoma, K-State, TCU. They have all those guys, they have all those teams at home this year. And after this year, they're going to lose Mason Rudolph. They're going to lose James Washington. And we're going to have Lincoln Riley with a year under his belt at Oklahoma. So if Oklahoma State is going to do this, I think they need to get it done this year, or else they may just still be stuck in that purgatory for another few years.
Yes, but you know exactly what you sound like right now?
What's that?
What everybody would say every single year in the late 90s and early 2000s about K-State. 1998, hey, they're going to lose a slew of NFL draft picks. Michael Bishop, Darnell McDonald, Eric Hickson, ton of studs on defense. Jeff Kelly, all those guys are gone. No way they'll be able to. How about 11 wins in 1999? And Oklahoma State has been like that. They've gone through these stretches. 2011, they lost Justin Blackman, Brandon Whedon, all those guys. They've still won 10 games in five of the last seven seasons. They've just turned into that kind of program that no matter what it really looks like on paper, you know that nine times out of 10, they're going to be right there winning nine or 10 games. That Tyreek Hill year is really the one year I can remember Oklahoma State having a down year. And in fact, that was one of the few times they actually did win Bedlam and beat Oklahoma. So even then, they were still able to do something that turned the year around at the end of the year, and I think left you feeling somewhat positive. Like, if that's going to be the real bottom of the barrel for Mike Gundy's program, I still think it's fair to raise this comparison to late 90s, early 2000s K-State.
Are we ready to give them that benefit of the doubt? That regardless of what happens, they'll find a way to win 9 or 10 games next year? I mean, are we ready to put Mike Gundy in that esteem?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's really the point I'm just trying to make. They've won 10 games in five of the last 7 years. What more do you need to see from him? And right now, he has built it back up to really the crescendo of one of these cycles.
I don't know. Maybe I'm stuck thinking about what the first half, the first like 2.5 quarters of the game against Oklahoma State last year looked like. K-State had him dead to rights, and Oklahoma State found a way to win that game. I wasn't. Like, Mason Rudolph was really good. I just was not overwhelmingly impressed by that OSU team last year.
Hey, 1999, K-State fell behind 21-0 to a bad Oklahoma State team. They scored 44 in a row. They won that game. It was the Iowa State game where they were down 28-7 against a bad Iowa State team, came back and won. I'm just – there are, the way that you're acting and reacting to this, I feel like
– Well, I wasn't
should
there
just
back
be
then.
Music to everybody's ears to how it was – in the late 90s and early 2000s with some of the doubt that came in every year about K-State's program. My answer, in short, yes. I think Mike Gundy has reached that status, and this is good news for Oklahoma State that he agrees to a five-year extension today. Let us know what you think, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. You can also tweet us at the game KMAN if you have questions or comments. Do you agree with me that Oklahoma State has reached the point where they remind you of Bill Snyder's first tenure here in Manhattan? We'll have Phil Steele at 5:10 to talk Big 12 football. We go back-to-back segments with him. He'll talk national college football as well at 5:25. When we come back, yes, this is some NBA talk. We'll try and make it as interesting as we can. The finals are over. You have a right to be frustrated with Durant, but not mad at Kevin Durant. You're listening to The Game.